Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, that was odd. There. As if on cue. Welcome to the Football Garbage Time Podcast, the early preseason edition. We're back for another season, and today we're going to have Ryan Whitfield and Joey Alibro here talking about all the great preseason action and about all the things that we want to see coming up in the new season. All right, so here we go. Let's not further ado. Let's get started. Welcome back, Ryan and Joey. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Great.
All right. All right, not too bad. Summer's coming to a close. We're coming up on the NFL season. We've been counting this down for months and months and months. And, of course, after a little bit of a hiccup where we had a false start on Sunday where the NFL embarrassingly forgot to check their paint and made the field super dangerous and had to cancel the game, we had preseason football. That's exciting, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I know this is not football, but you guys watch the Olympics at all?
A little bit. I've been watching rugby to get my NFL fix, kind of, but it's definitely not the same.
No, and not only that, but the games are 7 minutes long, I think, aren't they? Or 7 minute core halves or something like that.
Yeah.
Imagine that. I mean, if it was that way, I would have so much more free time if football games were 7 minutes long. I can tell you that. I can say this. Earlier today, I was watching women's handball. Some of those women could huck. They had some serious velocity on those balls. It was unbelievable. I can tell you after watching last night's preseason games and watching that, I'd want some of those women instead of Mark Sanchez for sure. Absolutely no doubt in my mind. But anyway, so without further ado, let's just dive into it. So we got two major topics today. We're going to talk about the start of the NFL preseason, last night's games, and then we're going to go ahead and talk about some of our bold predictions for the 2016 season. But first of all, let's just do a rundown of what happened last night. We had the Redskins and the Falcons playing last night, with the Redskins taking it 17-23. We had the Buccaneers and the Eagles with Carson Wentz's debut, leading the Eagles to winning 17-9. We got the Panthers and the Ravens last night, Panthers losing 19-22. We got the Saints and the Patriots, and I know that we're going to hear a little bit more about that from Ryan. The Patriots won 34-22. Jaguars and Jets, the Jets taking it 17-13. And then my Bears playing the Broncos and getting shut out 22-0. So with all that action, Ryan, tell us, what were your takeaways from last night's preseason games?
Yes, I have a couple here. The first one I wasn't going to touch on, but I'll touch on it since you took a jab there quickly. One of my favorite tweets last night, I think it was Trey Wingo, tweeted out that, the stats will show Mark Sanchez had a 40-yard touchdown pass, but the eyes will tell you that he had a wide-open Demaryius Thomas who had to still pause for 3 seconds and stand under the ball to catch it. So, Denver's definitely in trouble on that. So I'll start with a couple away from the Patriots game and then kind of come back to it. But some of my big takeaways last night was just how epically stupid the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are for taking Ayuk in the second round there. I don't put a lot of stock in him missing that extra point. And, extra points were up, I think, 7-8% on misses last year with it moving back.
Right.
So I'm not. This is not a referendum on him as a kicker. It's the reason why you just don't pick a kicker in the second round. I'm sorry. I think that pick kind of showed its ugly head last night a little bit. I want to touch on Carson Wentz for a second too. Stats for him are going to show 12 of 24 for 89 yards. I think his QBR was down in the 40s. So it doesn't look like he had a great night last night, but he did. He commanded that offense. I think he had a lot of athleticism and a good spark off the bench when he came into that game. And, I don't watch a lot of 1AA college football. So he was definitely somebody I was looking forward to watching last night. And when he came out there, that first drive, I think he led him 70 yards down the field on that first drive. I was impressed. There was definitely a spark there. And I would, I understand now why Sam Bradford's so mad. He has no right to be, but I'd be a little bit shook too if I was him.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, you know, I was just jumping in because of the fact, because you mentioned Carson Wentz, and I'm sure that is any football fans out there were probably had their eye on what was going to happen there, because, you know, the Eagles have not been quiet about their plans to basically bench him, to redshirt him all of his first year in the NFL. So, you know, this probably, like for most people, it was probably the first time that anyone's seen him play football outside of YouTube clips. Because, like you said, nobody watches FCS football unless you actually happen to have come from North Dakota State or wherever, you know, or any of these schools in that conference. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, I'll say that, you know, there was some good stuff there. I mean, there were certainly some problems. He definitely took a number of hits. He held onto the ball a little too long. Didn't find his receivers immediately. He sailed a good number of passes out of reach. But he did demonstrate some athleticism, which is as advertised. He didn't get sacked. Unlike his fellow backup, Chase Daniel, who got sacked four times and looked like he was absolute toast. And he did run a number of naked bootlegs, which looked really good. I mean, he definitely was able to keep plays alive, rolling out of the pocket. He looks pretty dynamic. He's definitely got wheels. The interception actually wasn't horrible. He had actually driven them down to the Bucs' 11-yard line before sailing one and getting it intercepted. So, and he accepted that afterwards. That was one of the first things he mentioned when he was interviewed after the fact, that he put a little too much juice on it. He can't afford to be inaccurate in the red zone. I think he's still learning, but I actually think that he did better than his numbers show. That's kind of my takeaway for Wentz.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Yeah. Joey, any thoughts on Wentz, since we're all talking about Wentz right now?
Yeah, he's one of my biggest takeaways from the preseason games. You know, he's coming from an FCS school, so he definitely has some development to do. You know, like Ryan said, 12 of 24, QBR in the 40s, but I really think he had a better game than the numbers showed. It's going to be interesting to see, like, follow the Eagles quarterback situation all year with Bradford and then – Doug Peterson loves Chase Daniels for some reason. I don't know. And then
I know.
Wentz, the third string with the number two overall pick. So I wonder how long it'll take before Wentz is in there as a starter.
Yeah, I read somewhere also that Peterson himself was like a veteran backup back in the day, right? Andy Reid took him in to kind of mind the fort. While Donovan McNabb was getting up to speed, and he basically completely crapped out. So, you know, obviously Chase Daniel is a nobody here, in my opinion, just looking at how he played last night. Sam Bradford is a big question mark to me. He's just a huge question mark. But those Eagles, I mean, they just look honestly, no Jordan Matthews for at least the preseason, probably into week one because of a bone bruise. No left tackle Lane Johnson, suspended for 10 games, it looks like, unless he wins an appeal, for failing the drug policy twice. I mean, it's not going to be pretty for those guys. You know, I don't see
a
lot of upside. Yeah, right.
Definitely loving it.
Yeah, well, I certainly think that they'll be a team. I think that the Giants will easily handle them during the regular season. Can't be a problem. The only thing, if I was an Eagles fan, the only thing I'd be looking forward to is seeing Carson Wentz in actual game action at some point this year. Because Sam Bradford is just not interesting to me. He's proven to be mediocre for many, many years and incredibly injury prone. I just don't see any upside with him.
Yeah, the most interesting thing about Sam Bradford is that he's going on, you know, getting close to 6-7 years in the league, and he still can't find a pair of shoulder pads or a jersey that fits him properly.
right. Yeah, that alone should have him get him cut from the league, right?
I agree.
So Ryan, I know we just kind of co-opted your line of thought there, but let's take us to your next thoughts on the preseason.
Yeah, my last one, you know, I just wanted to touch on, obviously, quick, the most, you know, I had the red zone on backup last night, but obviously most of my attention was on the Patriots-Saints game. So just a couple quick points from that game. You know, another guy who, you know, I think the stats undersell Jimmy Garoppolo's performance last night. I think he finished 11 of 20 last night for a little over 100 yards, and he had, a 91 QB rating, and I addressed this in my article up on the website now, my quick snap reactions to the game last night. But, you know, I think he played better than his stats will show, too. In particular, the most important thing about the fact that he did have a 91 rating last night was the fact that Martellus Bennett was his only real starter, and he's the number two tight end that was out there. On the first drive, we saw Chris Harper, Nate Washington, and Aaron Dobson as his receiving core. No Julian Edelman, no Danny Amendola, no Rob Gronkowski, and no Chris Hogan. I mean, those are your four biggest, most primary weapons of the squad right there.
I would assume
Malcolm
that
Mitchell,
when you have terrible nightmares, Ryan, when it's you see those three receivers step onto the field in a regular season game. Am I wrong? I mean, I feel like that would just
agreed.
Be a reason to just quit football entirely.
It'll be like 2013 when the Pats had Austin Colley and Matt Mulligan starting in the AFC Championship game.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, and Malcolm Mitchell, who's been a really kind of a standout in camp this summer, didn't even get in until about, I think a couple minutes into the second quarter. He pretty much sat out the entire first quarter. So it was interesting. Aside from Martellus Bennett, it seemed like most of the guys out there were the guys, I know typically the later you play in games in preseason down the line is, the guys who are on the bubble. And I think last night it was most of the starters that are on the bubble. At least on the offensive side, you saw a lot of guys who are going to be lucky to make this team, the Dobsons and Nate Washingtons of the world. So with that cast around him, I think Ruppel played pretty well. Another point I pointed out in the article that the offensive line is still – they just brought back Dante Scarnecchia, the 31-year offensive line coach for the Patriots. So he'll get that fixed, and they need some solidarity on that line. But Sebastian Vollmer's still not back. That was Nate Solder's first game since Dallas last year in October. So, they definitely – and Shaq Mason really starting. Joe Tooney was his first this was his first start even in any kind of NFL game. So I think they'll get it together there. But, I thought overall – the offense looked pretty good. The worst part was the Malcolm Mitchell injury.
Yeah, that was brutal.
Like I said, he's been a stud
not
in
pretty.
Camp, and he had four catches for 54 yards yesterday. He was running. He's running crisp routes. This is the guy who skipped the rookie symposium because he wanted to study the Patriots playbook instead. He's a kind of a learned how to read through a book club. This is a guy who gets it, who cares, and he's a Troy. I've been calling him Troy Brown 2.0. So luckily he avoided a break and should be back in 4 weeks. And then my last quick point, I know it's preseason. We're not going to oversell it, but if that's the form that Jamie Collins is in right now, in game one of the preseason, I don't know how anyone could, doubt that he's going to be one of the top three finalists for defensive player of the year, which is going to suck because his contract's up at the end of the year and the Patriots are going to, they're going to have to pay that man, some big money because he was not even the pick six on the next series after the pick six. There was a run play, and Jamie Collins was 5 yards in the backfield before the running back had taken before Ingram had taken two steps, and he just dropped him on his back. I mean, guy is a freak. So,
Yeah, you know what that means, Ryan. That means that Belichick's going to trade him away halfway through the season, and for about five more draft picks, and then you guys are going to pick up, Malcolm Mitchell 2.0, and all Collins 2.0. You're going to end up with a whole bunch of other people on your roster next year. That's just the way it goes.
There were four major contracts coming up. It was Chandler Jones, Hightower, Collins, and Malcolm Butler. And they already got rid of Jones. I think Hightower is the other one they're going to let go. I don't see them walking away from Malcolm Butler or from Jamie Collins. They're too athletic. They're too important to this defense. So I think those are the two that end up staying. But Hightower will probably be one that ends up walking.
Yeah, I just think there's nobody that is critical for the Patriots in Bill Belichick's eyes who doesn't have the last name Brady. That's my takeaway right now. He's fearless when it comes to making roster moves. So, but point taken. He looked really good last night. He absolutely looked fantastic. Okay, so Joey, what are your takeaways from the preseason game?
Yeah, the first one was Wentz. So we already covered that. I'm going to have to continue his Patriot loving that Ryan started.
okay.
I really like Martellus Bennett, and I think that Patriots offense with the two-headed tight end attack with Gronk and Martellus Bennett could do some real damage. Kind of reminds me of Hernandez and Gronk before Hernandez was in prison. But
right.
Yeah. Bennett, I really loved him when he was on the Giants. He was a favorite target of Eli. He actually kind of trash talked Eli a little bit ago, but when him and his brother were in that interview, that's all right.
Martellus Bennett is an interesting guy, by the way. I don't know if you ever followed him Twitter before. He tends to pay.
Oh
my gosh, I sometimes wonder if he's
on.
He's like from another planet. That guy, but good, great player though.
Yeah, definitely. I also saw James White, Ryan. He's super fast. I see him filling the role that Shane Vereen had in New England before he came to the Giants. He looked quick out of the backfield and a nice little receiving option for Brady. He had that, I think, of one catch for 56 yards, was it?
Yeah.
I saw him. So, yeah, that's my takeaway from the Patriots.
All right. And any other preseason standouts for you? Anything else pop up from the other preseason games?
The Panthers' defense looks solid still. A.J. Klein, the linebacker, he's going to look great next to Kikli.
Mm-hmm.
That pick six.
Yep, totally agree
with
that. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because it's not, you know, with preseason games, it's hard to tell because a lot of times you have these second and third teams playing against each other. And they don't quite, they don't necessarily match up. You know, as another thing to mention with Wentz, he actually was facing the first team Buccaneers defense for a while. So it's, you know, it's unclear, you know, what part of this is real or part of this isn't real. So I will actually just touch on my favorite team, the Chicago Bears. It's not much to talk about because they got shut out and they look horrible. But I will mention one thing, and that is, Jeremy Langford, who actually started at running back, and he actually subbed in for about half the games last year when Matt Forte was injured. He only rushed for 7 yards and 4 carries and caught one pass for 3 yards, but he was clearly the primary back from the Bears, and he did a really good job in pass protection, something that he really struggled in last year, particularly when he stuck Broncos in linebacker Brandon Marshall in an inside rush, which is something that he would have absolutely blown last year. So there's definitely some good stuff that's happening there. And as a reminder, you know, last year Langford had 537 rush yards, 279 receiving yards, and 7 total touchdowns in only about half the game. So, you know, if you kind of translate that up, if he becomes a real starter, I mean, I think there's possibility for top 15, you know, top 10 running back level if Langford actually stays healthy. Now, what was surprising to me, though, was that Jordan Howard, their fifth-round draft pick, not only played behind Langford, but played behind Jaquizz Rodgers and Kadeem Carey, neither of which could be a every-down back, both of which are, in my opinion, more of a change-of-pace back. You know, Howard is still a 6-foot, 230-pound guy who certainly could carve out a role for himself as a goal-line back, but I thought that was going to be more – I thought they were going to see a lot more of him. When he was in Indiana in 2015, he rushed for 1,213 yards and 11 touchdowns. And when he was in Alabama Birmingham in 2014, he rushed for 1,587 yards and 13 touchdowns. I mean, the guy is a beast, but I didn't see that at all last night. And I think he just didn't get enough touches to do anything with it. But there was some talk of committee in Chicago, and if there's any bright side there, you know, obviously I want to see what Cutler and Kevin White can do, and whether Alshon Jeffrey can stay healthy and give them some legitimate offense there. But the running back situation definitely is something that I think is interesting. And then the other takeaway from the Bears-Broncos game, not talking about the Broncos side, is that the Bears are terrible after you take the starters off. I mean, they have zero depth at any position. So this is going to be a really sad year for me. I can tell you that already. Turning the other side, I know we already talked about Mark Sanchez, but either of you guys think that Mark Sanchez is legit, that he actually can be a legit starting quarterback for the Broncos?
I think he can be a game manager.
I'm sorry, go ahead. So, Joey, you take it first. What do you think?
I think he can be a game manager. I don't know about, like, anything special. Maybe 2,500 yards if he starts all year. They'll rely heavy on the run game and the defense, just like, it's just basically like Peyton's there, but he's 43 years old or whatever.
Right. Okay, Ryan, you think? What do you think? Legit? No, legit.
I think Mark Sanchez is the fact that Mark Sanchez can still play in the NFL and Tim Tebow can't is one of the most maddening things to me. It is. I can't. And it's not an anti-Jet opinion. You know, as much as I hate the Jets, oh my God, Mark Sanchez. I mean, for every good thing he does, there are 10 more bad things. He followed up that you know, that wide open touchdown pass last night by throwing a interception into a crowd of about five Chicago Bears with one Bronco player around. You know, what gets lost in the joke of the butt fumble, because everyone just laughs at that play and we all talk about it and it's funny and we all have a good laugh at it. The guy panics so badly in the pocket on a play where nobody was rushing him that he runs straight into the back of his center. And I can still remember the play because it was on Thursday Night Football, but it was on Thanksgiving night, so they had the Collinsworth crew out there. And Collinsworth claimed that Vince Wilfork pushed the center back into him. He didn't. That is – Mark Sanchez is a spaz. He is not calm and cool, collected. And to be a game manager –
two up, two down.
To be a good game manager, you need to be able to not make mistakes. And Mark Sanchez doesn't have the skill of a good quarterback, and then he has the mistakes of a gunslinger. It's just it's a catastrophic thing. The Don out there, John Elway, really messed this up. He had the heir apparent, and he let him walk away to Houston, and now he's stuck with Paxton Lynch and Mark Sanchez competing for this role. So they're going to take a huge step back offensively this year.
Well, respect to Tim Tebow, he's trying to get into baseball now, as Joey and I have discussed previously. Things might work out for him yet. You know, you might be able to get yourself a Tim Tebow jersey and wear it around. Maybe he'll be a Red Sox. You never know.
Tebow was 8-6 as a starter and 1-1 in the postseason. So more than Mark Sanchez has done, he rode the back of a defense to two AFC championships and hasn't won anything since.
Right. That's definitely true. So maybe he'll do better when he goes to baseball then. All right, let's turn to our next topic, which is Beltway's bold predictions. All right, so I like to call these courageous conjectures, because bold predictions is being used by every other site on the planet. But let's just go ahead and hit it. So, Joey, tell us, what are your courageous conjectures for the 2016 season?
Well, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be the number one seed in the AFC when the regular season comes to an end. With Brady out the four games.
Sorry, that was my delayed drop for you. Go ahead.
That's all right. With Brady out those four games, I think the Patriots will hurt a little, but I definitely still think they're playoff bound and maybe even Super Bowl bound. But the Steelers, when Roethlisberger is healthy, he's a stud. You know that. They added Ladarius Green from San Diego as a tight end in the offseason. They drafted Artie Burns out of Miami in the first round to bolster up that secondary. So if Bell is not suspended and Roethlisberger stays healthy, they'll be the number one seed.
Okay. All right. And do you have a second bold prediction / courageous conjecture for us?
I have a little giant love here. I think their second round receiver, Sterling Shepard, will win Rookie of the Year. Odell Beckham came out. Odell Beckham came out and said that if anybody can break his rookie receiving records, it's him. So I watched a little tape on
that
him about Oklahoma. That's high praise.
That is courageous indeed. I don't know if I would be, but that's great. If you're right, you might be the only man alive who thinks that right now. So
check him out in fantasy.
But he's good. Though. All right. So Ryan, tell us, what are your courageous conjectures this year?
Well, I'll first say that Pittsburgh's going to be the number one seed in the AFC, then they're going to have to lock up all the drug dealers in Pittsburgh for the next 4 or 5 months here.
Okay.
Yeah.
For my so for my first prediction, whatever you called it here,
The courageous conjectures. Come on, man. We got to start our own thing.
That's right. We're going to get a hashtag for that. So both these teams have gained popularity in the offseason, so doing either one on their own is not a very bold or courageous conjecture. So I'm gonna combine them into one here. Oakland is gonna win the AFC West, and I have the Jags winning the AFC South.
Wow.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm doubling down. I'm taking a parlay on Oakland and the Jags.
Wow.
All the gamblers out there.
Holy cow! You should go to Vegas and put money down right there. You're gonna. you might be independently wealthy if you actually hit that one.
Yeah. So I like what both teams did in the off season. I like how they both didn't just focus on offensive side. They've got good young offenses. They bolstered up their defense. And the biggest thing the Jags did is is bringing in a back like Ivory who can take some punishment and take some of the heat off of Bortles. So I think that'll just help their pass attack. And that's coming from the guy who hates the run game. So.
Oh yeah, that is definitely true. Do you have another one for us? Is that going to be your two for one?
No. Okay. Second one is, and I went all division or all playoff type stuff here. I'm taking. I got the Seahawks missing the postseason this year.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
That's another big one.
Yeah, I'd love to see. I've had it with the Seahawks. I don't want to see them in the postseason anymore. So I'm on board with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of good teams in the NFC this year. So.
Yeah, no doubt. So I'm gonna go with two very narrow, bold, courageous conjectures for you guys. I'm gonna say that rookie tight end Tyler Higbee of the LA Rams ends the year as a top 10 tight end. I think,
wow.
and of course, and I'm just gonna go ahead and I'm gonna here we go. This is self-serving. So 563 yards, 8 touchdowns in just 9 games last year for Western Kentucky. That's about 60 yards and a TD per game. Not quite something that lives up to the nickname Little Baby Gronk, is which they're calling them. But, he's good. He's really solid. He's the type of guy like Gronk who can make things happen. He's a big dude. He has a big target. He has speed and strength. The only reason why he slipped to the fourth round is because of off-field issues. And, of course, he still has off-field issues. As earlier this year, he knocked a guy out in front of a nightclub in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and then he ran away and hid behind a bush near a church. And, when, of course, he was found very, very easily because he stuck out. And he was heavily intoxicated at the time. But he was charged for that, so, who knows. That was 1 week after he was drafted, so you got to wonder what's going to happen after that. But assuming he doesn't get in trouble, I wouldn't be surprised if he becomes the go-to guy there in L.A. They don't have any real playmakers there, and he could be the man. My second courageous conjecture is that rookie Devontae Booker of the Denver Broncos ends up being the starting running back by the end of the year. That's right, passing both Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson. And, of course, I'll give myself a self-serving round of applause. He rushed only 4 times for 11 yards and caught an 8-yard pass last night. But, really, he drew rave reviews during camp. He has a lot of speed. He has a lot of power. C.J. Anderson was terrible at the beginning of last year. He only got a little bit better at the end of the year. And Ronnie Hillman faded out completely. In 2014 for Utah, Devontae Booker had 1,818 total yards from scrimmage, 12 total TDs. 2015, he had 1,577 total yards from scrimmage and 11 total TDs. Total career average of 5 yards per carry, 7.8 yards per reception. Need I say more? I think he's going to be amazing. We're going to see a lot more 8 guys in the box because, as we just said, Mark Sanchez is no good. And I think they're going to have to turn to Devontae Booker. And I think he's going to be the starting running back in Denver by the end of the year. All right. So that's it for my courageous conjectures. Any last thoughts, Joey, before we sign off for the week?
Go Giants. They play in 30 minutes.
That's right. No Eli, but it will be interesting to see what happens tonight. I guess Ryan Nassib will be starting tonight. It'll be interesting to see how Ryan Nassib does. So, Ryan, your thoughts, any last thoughts before we sign off tonight?
Yeah, I mean, if that wasn't the most Kentucky thing I've ever heard of, next to the church, that's a nightclub hiding behind a bush. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah, no.
That's all downtown.
Yeah, it's clear that Mr. Higbee is from Kentucky, and I'm not saying anything bad about you guys, anybody from Kentucky. I'm just saying it's pretty clear that Mr. Higbee is from Kentucky. All right, so that's it. We got Tali Magat this week, guys. We're going to sign off. We're going to get back onto our regular schedule real soon. This has been the Football Garbage Time Podcast, early preseason edition. With here on the show, I had Ryan Whitfield. Tell us your Twitter account so people can follow you.
Yep, Ryan Whitfield, N-E.
Okay, and Joey Alibro, why don't you go ahead and give us your Twitter account as well?
Yep, I'm at Joey Alibro.
All right, and I'm Hakun Wong at Football Garbage Time. You can follow us at FB Garbage Time, at FB Garbage Time, and get all the new news. And we'll see you again starting next week, and we're going to go regular as soon as the season starts rolling along. So keep it tuned in, and we'll get you caught up with all the NFL news. So enjoy the rest of the preseason games.